Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey.
Welcome back to The Fashion Hags, episode 52.
It's our hag-iversary.
It is our hag-iversary. 2 years. 2 years.
2 years.
That seems crazy. 52 episodes?
Yeah, every other week, 52 episodes.
It's insane.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow, a lot has happened in 2 years, too.
Yeah. Also, that's exactly the same.
A lot is the same. The basement's the same. My chair moved around a little.
Yeah, now you're on that side of the table.
Different place.
Very exciting. I got sick of moving it when I would come do the laundry.
Yeah, of course.
So I think Dave just was like, all right, you live here now.
I am into it. It's a good spot. I can see Evan way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see you almost the same.
Kind of.
There's a bit of a bar.
There's a weird microphone arm in the way, but that's okay. You know what I look like.
I do.
You see enough of my face, so that's fine.
I do. I see you a lot.
It's been a long time since we recorded.
No, it's only been 2 weeks for you guys, but it's been like,
yeah, we pre-recorded because we got a bunch of shit to do at work and stuff and lives and.
But mostly, Abby, you went to Colombia.
Yes, and catch up with me. I went to South America.
I've never
been South America. I've been south of the equator, but I've never been on that continent. So that was very exciting. It was a whirlwind, exhausting, fun trip.
It was wedding. Related. Yes,
my brother got married. And so we flew to Bogota and then we flew to my sister-in-law's hometown of Bucaramanga, which is just fun to say.
Bucaramanga?
Bucaramanga. Or B/manga as like all the like signs. It's a fucking big ass name. Like all the signs in the airport and stuff are just like B/manga. Like, sweet, I'll take it.
I like it. It sounds like
B-manga.
It sounds like Cowabunga, dude! Like,
be manga, bro!
Like surfer slang from like bad surfer slang.
Yeah,
from like
25 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good times. But the wedding was lovely. It was on top of a mountain, looking over the city and this old like monastery thing. This like giant 300-year-old tree with a bunch of other shit hanging off of it.
And that was in Bogota?
This was in Bucaramanga.
Bucaramanga.
And then, like, we stayed at this nice hotel with the pool and everything. We did get chased out of the pool a couple times because of torrential downpours, which happens when you are in the tropics.
That's kind of fun in the tropics.
And, like, it was coming down crazy buckets. Like, it was intense. And then it was gone in, like, 20 minutes. Because that's how it works. And then Dave came home because he came home and took the kids and rescued my in-laws from them more so than my in-laws are lovely and they did us a real solid by taking both kids for us. But then Dave came home after the wedding and then I went on an extra little leg down to the Amazon. Didn't even know that I ended up also going to Peru and Brazil because that's just where the Amazon was. Like it's in this tiny little, the south of Colombia where all those three countries touch. And there's it's the Amazon. It's got a million arms and legs and estuaries and all sorts of things. So we went on a couple tours and had lunch in Peru and had dinner in Brazil.
La-di-da.
Learned that Peruvian food is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
It is so good. Even Colombian food, it's like, and I like meat too. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all they eat in South America. Like vegetarians don't really exist in South America. They're real. It's like meat and dairy and fruit and like no vegetables. Or like the vegetables are like cassava root.
Ooh.
Which is delicious. Mm. It's like a weird potato. Mm. It's
I
like that sort of tuber. Yeah, I'm all on board. And my brother showed me this like bread made with cassava and it looks like a weird turd. But it's so good. It's a real cheesy bread turd. It's so good. Cannot remember the name of it to save my life in Spanish. Pan de something. Bread of whatever.
Turd.
Delicioso. But it was, the Amazon was intense.
Did you see any giant snakes?
I did.
Oh, what?
Like, not loose.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
Because we went on a boat trip. that my brother all organized. He had gone down, I think, another time when he was just there on vacation. And he had gone to this exact same town and hired this guy to take him upriver and hang out and stuff. So we hired the same guide again, this guy named Eduardo, who's fucking awesome. He's literally like spent, he must be 40-something, every day of his life in the jungle, machete in one hand, well, you know, like backpack, just hacking away, you know, living that Amazon life.
Oh my God.
So he took us to this weird compound, I guess. It's in the middle of, it took us like a couple hours to get upriver to find it in the middle of nowhere. And this man, Arturo, has started his own like sanctuary for animals and monkeys and things. And it's totally like, I think tour guides, there were a couple other tour groups there. So I think the guides know that it's there and they must have a deal with Arturo to help pay for it and stuff and give him some money for it. But he just like set it up by himself, as far as I understood, in the middle of the jungle. And he just like helps monkeys or just like leaves food out and then just like brings the, every day brings the food a little bit closer so they get a little acclimatized. But they're all loose and they're all wild and they're not pets and they come and go as they please. There's about like five different kinds of monkeys they have there. And like we're trekking up this hill and it's a million degrees and it's 100% humidity and it's intense. And I don't know how far we have to walk. It maybe 12 minutes, maybe 120 minutes. I don't know. It felt like 500 minutes. It was probably closer to the 12. And my aunt and my uncle and I just get, we just happen to be in the front of the line and we just get up there first. And there's a spider monkey just like hanging out. Oh the ones, God. The black ones with the really long,
the
legs,
long legs
and the
tail.
Super long tail. And a woolly monkey, which has really, really thick, crazy fur and the sweetest little faces. And one just climbs up on my aunt, and my aunt Kathy's just standing there like, what the fuck do I do? So you just, and that's just it. They'll come and just look at you and see what you got and, like, open your backpack and stuff. And, like, steal your phone if you're not careful because they're just super curious.
Ugh.
And
I
then
do not.
Another one kind of like.
Is in my life
no,
ever.
It's fine. I can understand how this is not up a lot of people's
not
alleys.
Not for me.
But I just, this one monkey came, like, sauntering over, like, fully walking. And then just like lifted up his little hand to reach towards me. And I just put my hand out, just like not even thinking, like, oh, hi, like you would do to a kid.
Right.
And the monkey just grabbed my hand and then climbed me.
Oh.
And you could like feel like this warm little paw and like the weight of it. It probably weighed, I don't know, like probably about 15 pounds or something. Like it wasn't heavy or anything, but there was, you know, a weight to it. And then he just sits on you, looks around, maybe, you know, looks for some, you know, fleas or gnats in your hair or something.
Crumbs in your,
yeah, exactly, in your pockets. And then you just walk around and there's a whole bunch of monkeys and the guy comes out, Arturo comes out and he loves talking to people and he has zero scientific training, but one of the most expansive knowledges of everything Amazon related because he's probably in his 50s or something and he's just lived there his whole life. So he will talk your face off about anything animal, jungle, wet, like anything related to the Amazon. And you talk with the monkeys and he gives them like little wafer crackers, like those little rectangle ones. And they're crazy for them. And there's one with like holding one in each foot and then eating another one. I took some great pictures. Remind me Instagram if you're interested. And then what else? Yes, we met a giant anaconda. Her name was Princess.
Oh, it's nice. That's nice.
She was really nice. She was huge. She was just a baby. She's just 4 meters long.
Oh,
she's just a baby.
Jesus.
She felt really cool. Literally like temperature cool, but also really interesting. Like a very, I've felt snakes before, but certainly not this big and strong. And our guy
is
joked,
it like a football? Like, is it like the width? Like a
oh,
football?
For sure. Yeah.
Or like
even bigger. Like a, personal pizza.
Oh.
At her thickest bit, maybe like 8 to 10 inches.
Mm.
But and then our guide said, if you don't get your picture taken, you don't get lunch. Like you have to hold the steak if you want lunch.
Oh fuck!
So we all took
like,
our, like
well, me on the boat.
Like, yeah, my granola bar in my pocket. Hope the monkey didn't steal it.
Yeah.
So like, but also the snake was huge. So it took like two or three of us at a time to like put her across our shoulders and hold her and stuff. And there was these weird fish that also live there. These, what are they called? Piriruku? They're like one of those ancient fish that haven't changed in like 20 million years. And they just live in the Amazon and they're fucking weird as shit.
Are they delicious?
They're also delicious. Yeah. I ate them. They were really good. They had these, like, I don't know if you know what chicharrón is. It's like a fried pig skin thing. It's like really, it's like crackling almost.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that fish,
oh,
it was really good.
Yeah, I'm on board.
The bunch of beer.
Mm, yep.
Real tasty.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. So, yes, I learned I love Peruvian food. I need to find some Peruvian restaurants. I don't know if there's any here.
There's got to be one.
There's got to be. We got everything here. We have to figure it out.
We'll find one.
But it was a good time. I had to buy a completely new wardrobe for the Amazon because I was telling Katie about this. Like, my brother sent us a very awesome list of everything we need and the type of shoes and the this kind of bug spray and this kind of sunscreen and whatever, whatever, whatever. And he said the best thing to wear is like wicking synthetic fabrics that are loose fitting, light in color, because if they're dark in color, then the bugs are attracted to you. I guess, I don't know if you're warmer or something. Like, there's something about the color of the clothes that has to do with keeping bugs off of you. So I said, yeah, light in color, loose fitting, synthetic fabrics. I have strived for years to eliminate synthetic fabrics from my wardrobe completely. And I have some workout clothing, but it's all tight and black.
Yeah.
I have leggings that are tight and black, and I have like long sleeve undershirts that I used to wear when I ran that are super tight fitting and dark that I would then put another t-shirt on over top and then put a coat on or whatever. Right. So I'm like, well, shit, I got literally nothing. Like,
how long were you in the Amazon?
My socks are like not even appropriate. My socks are not even good for this. 4 days. I only went out one day because by the time I got there, I was so tired and everybody else was doing tours and stuff. My brother had lined up all these awesome other things. And there was one day I was just like, you know what? No. Not happening. No, I have fun. I did my adventure. Pet some monkeys. Took a picture with a snake. Learned a bunch of shit. I went to Peru. It's all good. Yeah. I'm all good. And then I just stayed by the hotel and got... I went out. I woke up. Had breakfast. Read. Fell asleep. Woke up. I was like, oh, I should go like to the store or something. Get some snacks or whatever. So I go to the grocery store. Get a big thing of water and some snacks. And then I come back. And I'm like, it's 1 o'clock. I should have a coffee or a margarita. Margarita one, because I already slept a bunch. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with another coffee today? Like, I want to go back to sleep later. What's the point of having a coffee at one if I want to have another nap? They made it very strong, that margarita. Oh. And it was too hot to swim. I thought, oh, maybe I'll just go for a dip in the pool at the hotel. It was too hot to swim. I've literally never felt that way in my entire life. I've like been outside and there's a pool and been like, no, it is too hot to swim.
Wow.
So oof. I had my margarita and then I went back, read more of my book and then fell asleep.
That is like a perfect, like,
it was great.
Day 3 of your vacation.
Yes.
Day 4.
And I realized I had not had a single day off in 14 months.
Oh boy.
Where like I had nothing to do.
Nothing.
Like, cause I had no kids, no nothing. I had no plans. All like our breakfast and our dinner was included at the hotel. So we weren't going to go out even for that. So I went out and got water. Like, I literally went like 2 blocks to the grocery store and got some stuff and then came home. I was gone maybe 20 minutes. And then I was like, oh, no, this is okay. I'm okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then I found out later that my family got to go meet a bunch of sloths, which could have been pretty awesome. But also, hashtag no regrets.
Absolutely.
The inside of my eyelids looked real good.
Yeah.
And the bottom of that margarita glass.
That's
fine.
There's sloths all over.
I've lived this long without holding a sloth. I think I'll be okay. It did look like fun, though. And they were very cute. But also, they stunk. So and they went to a monkey place and everybody got pooped on. So there's that. They went to a different monkey place.
Yeah.
So I'm happy I set up the weird monkey poop.
Yeah.
I got the cool monkey experience, not the like super touristy monkey experience. Yeah, no. So that was a good time. I think that, and then I came home and it was great. I was happy to be back.
Yeah.
Happy to be gone. And the day I stayed home, my aunt's like, do you miss your kids? And I was like, nope. I read literally an entire book in like 36 hours. It was Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett's Good Omens. It was fucking fantastic. Actually, that should have been my obsession because I
fucking save it. Don't say another
tore
word.
Through that book. I'll talk about it later, maybe. Maybe my obsession gets bumped.
Sweet.
Anyway, that's me.
So good. That's you covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah.
I mean, three countries.
Like literally and figuratively.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Happy to be home.
I don't know how we can follow that. I got real drunk last night.
Pretty good.
Wearing a tracksuit. Yeah. I'm wearing the only synthetics in my entire wardrobe.
Yes, your Adidas tracksuit.
And it is the right choice for today. Absolutely.
Hashtag no regrets.
Mm-hmm. I've been making a bunch of stuff lately.
Yes, you have. Yes.
I made a new poncho, this really nice
just
little cloth
fabulous.
That I found.
Yeah, and, that plaid one.
Yeah, and my friend Christy bought it, which was awesome. Feels so good to make a thing
even
and
better
sell
and then
it.
Get money for it.
Yeah,
yes, it was absolutely. Awesome. Make someone happy and then also be remunerated for it.
Yeah, it was great. So I was super happy with that. She was super stoked. It was a total win-win.
Beautiful.
And then I've been like, you know when you need like a new stuff in your wardrobe and it's going shopping is discouraging sometimes.
Yeah, but you have a void that needs to be filled in your wardrobe.
Well, I made a really quick, really easy pattern for like this simple tank top that I have in my wardrobe. This like, it's a nice silk vintage blue simple.
Scoop neck.
Yeah, you know? Super basic, but I wear it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this is an easy pattern to make. And I just knocked
it
off.
I can figure this out.
The front and the back are the same thing. It's a
even
one pattern piece project.
Yeah.
It's super easy. So I made this really nice, I found this nice, like, how you say, like rayon, like a gray kind of viscose. Mm-hmm. It's quite nice and kind of drapey. So I made one of those. And I made bias tape. This is the first time they've made bias tape.
Nice, and
done
yeah.
That.
It's a bit fiddly, but it's nice.
It's a bit fiddly, but it makes a really nice finishing
for
sure. Yeah,
it really does.
So that was a fun sort of challenge.
It turned out real cute. Now you can bang
that
punch if you want
to. Yeah, and then I went back to the fabric store and I found this banana print fabric. It's on my Instagram if you want to look. And I was like, well, I have to buy this, obviously. It was so cute. So then I made another shirt in that banana fabric. It's
yeah,
not
fun.
As good in that fabric. It needs to be a little bit drapier.
Sure.
Ideally. But
for a tank?
That was good. For a tank top, it's super cute.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wearing the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wore it 3 days in
a
row.
You could probably make it in a knit, too, hey?
Yeah, I need
like a lightweight.
I think. But
knit or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice t-shirt.
But it's filling a really nice void that I needed to fill.
That's nice.
Yeah. But then I also, you've seen this other bag that I made.
Yes, indeed.
That I've been dreaming of for a really long time. And I finally
it's been
it
cooking.
Done.
For a while.
And I needed a bag that was basically water, maybe not waterproof, but water resistant, rain resistant, so that I can bike to work and put my computer in my basket. So it like.
So you don't have your big backpack?
Yeah. So it has to like, it has to be sort of tall and skinny.
It has to fit
not
your basket.
Not super skinny, but it has to fit in the basket and my computer. So it's sort of this weird thing that
could these
built.
Dimensions, sure, that were required.
Yeah. And then I had some leftover leather that I put along the bottom and leather straps and a nice big leather zipper.
A little flap or something.
A little
something
flap
maybe?
On top. Yeah. So I finished that and that was going to be my obsession because I worked a lot on it. It was like the kind of project that you have kind of
on
cooking
the go.
For a long time
yeah.
and then just getting started is the hardest part. It's like going for a run.
Yeah.
Or going to the gym.
The lead up is
but then once you're in it, then it's okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, most of the work is convincing yourself to actually do it. And anyway, so I finished that, and it's awesome. I'm completely in love with it. It's been the best for my commute. So that's, it's been
good. Now that the rainy season here.
I know. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I got drenched the other day on the way to work. But my computer and everything stayed dry in my bag. There you go. Worked out great. And it's like, it's this sort of heavy, it's lined with a heavy light twill.
That's nice.
Which is nice so you can see stuff. I hate it when you're inside your bag, you can't see anything because it's dark, like a black leather
bag. Yeah, black lining.
Yeah.
That's why Coco Chanel lined all of her purses in a burgundy fabric so you can find all your stuff inside of it. To this day, Chanel purses do not have black linings, or at least the like 255s don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's smart. Makes sense.
Lady was smart.
Oh, I love that.
And then it's leather on the bottom. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. But anyway, I can kind of kick the shit out of it, is the point.
It's
like. It's nice.
It'll take a beating and it'll look good with a beating.
Yeah. And
but
the outside
it
is,
take it.
Yeah. The outside is like a waxed canvas, like an oil cloth as well.
Beautiful.
So I'm stoked to see it kind of develop.
Exactly.
And
come to
turn
fruition.
Into something.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's very satisfying.
So yeah, I've been real crafty lately.
Nice.
Me. Yeah. Evan, you're wearing one of my favorite pieces from your, what do you call it?
My oeuvre.
Archive, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, this quilted jacket. It's lovely.
So my nice. Quilted jacket, yeah. Yeah. It started snowing today in Vancouver, so I was like, yeah. I'm feeling a little cozy. I'm going to put on a little quilted number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real nice.
What's yeah. going on with you?
I launched...
Oh, yeah, your store.
Yeah. Online store.
Oh, yeah. Sold the keychain. Mm-hmm. That was another thing I did.
Yeah.
That was a fun text to get from you.
Yeah, well, it's like me and Katie collaborated on some keychains from my last collection, and we put them online, and, well, fucking sold
one. They're available. Yeah. Have a look.
So select pieces from Atavism are now on evanducharme.com.
I've been eyeballing those overalls.
Hallelujah.
They look real cute.
I love those overalls.
Yeah, those overalls are dope as shit.
I do like those overalls. But anyway, there's the corset and the skirt and the sweaters. We
just selected like a little curate from the collection to see what
I'm excited
we were
to do the sweatshirt with the floopy floppy thing.
Yeah, that's really an amazing piece. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
That one's beautiful.
And it's so much work to get it done. Like,
oh my God.
It's so many hours. It's hard to.
You have to amass all this information and then also package it nicely in a, you know, straightforward.
We also redesigned our website, our whole website.
Yeah. It's so much work.
Yeah. It's like, we were building the shop and then we were looking at the rest of the website and it was like, okay. Like,
well, if you're putting this much work into the shop.
Might as well just revamp the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we redesigned the whole website. Launched the online store, like wrote all the listings,
the pricing, the descriptions,
like doing all of our costing, all that stuff,
and take all the pictures
and like seeing, like what items can we like actually viably do within a certain amount of time,
right? Because these are all custom pieces, right?
It's made to order, so like we don't cut any fabric or start making anything until
the order
actually orders it.
Gotcha. So it's. What do they call it? It's not
bespoke. Is that bespoke? No, it's not.
Bespoke is the one where it's made for your specific thingamabob. Anyway.
Yeah, there's made to measure, which is like we make it for you with your measurements. And then made to order is you order a size and then
gotcha.
We just
that's
make that
what
size
it is.
For you and we send it to you.
Gotcha. Well, that's what we did with the Hag shirts too.
Yeah.
We didn't make any until we
until
knew.
We had
until
all our
we
orders.
Sold them.
Make,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good, but that's also... A lot of work before.
Yeah, and also like tracking down all of our fabrics that we used and we split.
Oh, sure, because like, it's been months now since you probably sourced a bunch. You have to find replacements or...
And then like we like changed some items and then remade them and then shot that new version of it. And like, yeah, it was kind of wild.
I bet.
Yeah, but I'm glad that I'm on the other side of it and now it's just a matter of promoting the collection and like promoting the garments online.
Yeah, and selling them and making them.
Ship them
out.
In that marketing.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also looking to next.
Of course.
Always
What's
looking
next?
To the next.
Always next. Looking forward.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, well, cool. That's exciting.
It's weird. It feels like so long that we have been together because it has been so long, but it's all, you know, you just roll right back into it. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. What are we doing next time?
Always moving forward. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
And you get excited about something and then it's gone. And then you move on.
And then it's November.
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, I blinked and a year went by. It's terrifying.
I know. Yeah. Now it's like looking at Christmas. Everything is talking about Christmas.
It snowed today. Yeah. I got a Starbucks with a holiday cup today. Like, it's on. My daughter was like, why is it so cold? I'm like, it's fucking winter. Halloween is done. It's winter.
You don't remember winter?
Yeah.
You were there last year.
Fucking baby.
You sweet summer child.
Winter's coming. Winter's fucking here.
Yeah.
So put on your goddamn hat.
Yeah.
Keep it on.
Keep it on. It's freezing.
That's the thing. She'll put the hat on, but will it stay on her?
Yeah.
No.
Well, we should
get to
the shit. And we, because it's our anniversary, we wanted to have a fun episode. So we are having a trivia day.
Yes.
So we all have five questions. However many questions. We'll see how many we get through. But we have a trivia. I'm so excited.
This is Katie's idea. I was so excited. I was like, genius. This is great. So we're trying to figure out something we could do. And last year we did our favorite things, which was also super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do something in this, like something different. For this and not just a normal topic that we'd cover, something fun, something that wasn't even necessarily fashion specific, but more show specific. So Katie gave us a task of making some questions that can be fashion related, fashion history,
podcast related,
podcast specific, like inside jokes or weird things we've talked about, and then also just like personal things that are just from our friendships and stuff that we've talked about on the show here. So
I think we should just go around, like start. I think
that's good.
Start somewhere and then go through and have a chat
and fill an hour of whatever.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be some good ones.
So, okay. Katie, do you want to start with the first one?
Okay, I'll start.
This is your brainchild.
I'll start. Okay. And we've already determined that the loser is getting booted off of the podcast. So I don't think we should keep score. I don't want to.
Okay. Also, we can also put this out there. If you have any questions that you think you could quiz us with,
let us
know. No way. Fashionhacks@gmail.com.
Like I said, it can be literally anything related, tangentially, whatever, man. You know how we roll.
Yeah, so do that. That's fun.
Tweet, Instagram, email, whatever.
Okay, let me see.
Thinking chapeau on.
Okay, my first one.
It's got a little tassel. It's real fancy.
My first one is podcast related.
Okay.
In episode 26.
We're going way back.
What celebrity did we determine could be cast as both me and you, Abby?
Oh, I know who that is.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Melanie Lynskey.
No.
Was it?
Was it not Melanie Lynskey?
We did talk that about her that episode, though.
That was you.
Yes.
But the one that we decided could be both of us.
I watched Sweet Home Alabama recently. She's great in that.
I love her in that movie. I think I have that top. I got it down at the Kmart.
Oh, she's charming.
Do you know?
No.
I forget which episode. It might have been our Favorite Things episode.
Yeah. If it's episode 26, that was our first year. Yeah. Was that also the episode? No, where we talked about you looking like Sandra Bullock?
No,
was that a different episode where some drunk guy told you?
Yeah, like someone thinks, like, thanks, sir.
Keep it moving.
Move along.
Who was it?
I know the answer.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Rose Byrne.
Interesting.
Rose Byrne.
Do you love a Rose Byrne?
Yeah, she's great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
Because we talked about trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, that's you. That would be a you for sure. But Rose Byrne, we figured a casting room could see
make
it,
that work.
As both of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's booked. She's going to be one of us.
She's got brown hair. She's in.
Yeah, exactly.
She's great.
She's cute. She's funny. It's perfect. Yeah. Evan, what's your first question?
All right.
Okay. Abby and Evan met while reading a Vogue magazine in fashion school. Who was on the cover? What month was it? And what designer was she wearing?
Oh.
I know who's on the cover.
Yeah.
It was Carey Mulligan.
It was Carey Mulligan.
Was it the September issue?
It was.
Yes. Okay. Because it was in October, but I didn't remember if it was the September or the October issue. It must have been the September issue.
Or maybe it was the October one because you wouldn't have hauled that one around.
Oh, no. I think I
did you?
I think I was being extra.
Of course. What did I do at fashion school? Not show up with a magazine?
Not show up with a phone book of a fashion magazine?
Yeah. You're weeding out... Beating out the potential for friends / people you don't give a shit about.
Yeah, exactly. Next. Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, you're cool.
Fuck you. You're cool.
I don't remember who the designer is, though.
Was it Galliano?
Vivienne Westwood.
No. She had a black. I remember the spread. I remember what she was wearing. It was like green
on the cover.
And pink and gold.
She wore Galliano on the spread.
Inside. Yeah.
But the cover.
Was it Chanel?
It was Chanel. Oh, Chanel Couture.
Yeah. But a very textured.
Very textured, like very embroidered.
Floral
and like
flowers or something.
And she had
a sequin.
She had like a little hat on, a little jaunty hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was 7 years ago.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh. I met my husband 7 years ago tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, because tomorrow's your anniversary.
Yeah, tomorrow's your anniversary.
Wonderful.
Well, who knew?
I know.
It's a good chunk of our lives, my friends.
It's crazy. 7 years.
That's pretty intense.
Okay, Abby, what's your first question?
My first one is, in the movie, the eye must travel. The eye has to travel. Fuck, I can never get that. I've only seen it a million times. The eye has to travel?
Yeah.
Yes.
The eye must to travel.
Yeah, must to travel.
It's good that the eye should travel.
Yes. Yeah. It's recommended. The eye move around a bunch. Which photographers are in the lesbians scene, if you remember?
I remember.
It's a young photographer taking a picture of an older photographer, and he gets the older man to just go, lesbian!
I remember the older photographer.
If you can remember their names.
The younger photographer is... Is it Richard Avedon? No, it's not.
The older one is Cecil Beaton.
Yes.
Yes.
The older one is Cecil Beaton, who's jaunty as a
thug. Is it David Bailey taking
it? It is David Bailey. Yes.
And then also available on M2M, our good old friends at M2M, there is Beaten by Bailey, which is an hour-long documentary.
Oh, cool.
About is that where it came from?
Cecil Beaton. I think that's lesbian. Where the footage comes. I don't know where the footage comes from, because it's in both movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talk about that movie a lot. That particular scene.
I want to take a minute to talk about M2M.TV.
Evan just did a little, got a real sassy head.
The world's leading provider of fashion documentaries, series, and original content, all for free on their website, M2M.TV, and also available on the Apple TV app.
Yes.
You can get 25% off your first month with promo code HAGS at checkout.
Send us your free shit. Fucking t-shirt or something, MTM. Come on, throw us a bone. Okay, excellent. Good job. Okay, Catherine.
Okay. On a similar track as yours, what magazine did Bill Cunningham and Annie Flanders launch in 1982 that the paychecks from which he famously never cashed? He tore them up and he never took the money. What was the name of the magazine?
Oh, shit.
It's a stump.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that one is from the Bill Cunningham
documentary. Yeah.
It was called Details.
Oh, Details magazine. Sure. Yeah. Is that even still around? It has. I mean, if it's not still, then it has.
It has been.
Yeah. It lasted a while.
Yeah.
But he famously never
cashed
any
check.
Of his checks. And he was like, don't take money. If they give you money and you take it, they own you. Don't take money. I think about that all of the time.
When someone's giving you money and you're like, thank you.
Yeah. When you take the money and you're like, ooh, I'm taking this money. Oh, may he rest in peace, Bill Cunningham.
He's like, oh, you marvelous man.
The best. Again, if you have not watched that movie,
get it on your list. I think it's available on Vimeo or something. Like, you can watch it.
I think it's on Netflix too, actually.
It might be. Bill Cunningham, New York. It's a wonderful, charming. I was going to say, you don't even have to be fashion specific to watch it. But if you're listening to this show, you probably have some sort of inclination towards it.
You've also probably already seen it too.
Because we've recommended it like a million times. Watch it again.
Watch it again. It's on my...
I would like to watch it again. I just reminded me, I haven't watched it in like 6 months. It's time to watch it again.
Yeah, which one?
Time.
Bill Cunningham.
Oh, I haven't watched it in at least a year. The end of it is too much for me. I break down every time when they ask him about being gay.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's too much for me. I can't. It's too much.
You just stop it before the last, leave the last 5 minutes off. And
but it's the point of the whole movie.
Yeah, I know. It's the whole
the build up to his whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, I got to watch that movie now.
It's too much for me to think that he denied himself the possibility of love for his entire life.
For so long. It's amazing how many men of that generation felt the same way.
Yeah.
You know?
That reminds me, have you guys seen Battle of the Sexes yet?
No. No.
Okay, we'll talk about it when you guys
But I did watch all of Big Mouth and I loved it.
Oh, yes! It's so good! It's so good.
By resolve, it's so fucking good.
Oh my God. I love it so much.
Oh man.
When she's talking about yelling at her mom, rip her fucking head off. Yeah.
I gotta get on this Big Mouth train. Because I watched a bunch of F is for Family, which you also recommended, about Bill Burr. So funny. I probably watched maybe about 10 episodes, so I need to get on that now. But Katie got me on the Mindhunter train, too.
Oh,
that Mindhunter show on Netflix
is it ever good.
Fantastic.
That is so fucking good.
So that's another recommendation.
That was going to be my obsession, but then I was like, I talked about murder a lot. So maybe I'll do something different.
Do something else.
Although it's not, anyway, we'll get
if
to the obsession.
If it's a true obsession, then what do you do? What do you do? Okay, who's
okay,
next?
Okay, who's next? Evan, you're next. No, wait. Yeah, you are.
Me. This one's an easy one. If you don't get it, then you actually can't be a
Katie stumped us, so okay. We need to redeem ourselves.
Name three of Dior's past creative directors, not including Dior himself.
Oh, okay. Galliano. Simmons. Raf Simmons.
Raf Simmons. And who's there now?
Oh, the Italian woman.
Yeah.
I'm totally spacing on her name.
There's a V on it. She's got a V in her name.
I'm sure there's a bunch of A's in it,
maybe a couple
too.
Of C's and an S. Fuck. I can see it. I can see your little face.
Did YSL ever do Dior?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There you go. Okay. Well, then there you go.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
There you go. Awesome. Oh, phew. Thank God. Oh, my God. My heart is racing.
The current creative director doesn't really count.
No, see, none of us can remember her name.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So she
it's Maria Grazia Chiuri.
Yes. There we go. Yes.
And she was from
Italy. She was at Valentino before.
Valentino, that's what it was. And did still a Ricky Valentino and then totally shits the bed at Dior. So what do you do?
But look at what Valentino is right now. Valentino is amazing without her.
Yeah, it's true.
So I feel like maybe she was the weak link of that team at Valentino.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
His first couture collection by himself. Oh, stunning.
With the long dresses and the high
necks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
It was literally like all of the accordion pleats from the neck. And it was just
these big.
And like a white silk.
I want to be in that fucking cult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's some culty outfits in there, man. I will pray to that.
It's very like.
I will drink that.
It's very like papal garb.
Yeah.
Like it's very like.
Religious. Kind of.
Like iconography.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But also very old and Roman and that whole type deal.
Just fantastic. Yeah, so you are the weakest link.
Goodbye.
Lady. Goodbye. Nobody remembers your name. Okay, bye.
And she's just doing awful things at Dior right now.
Oh, I didn't even look at the last season. I was so turned off by the embroidered one and then by that fucking fencing one. We had all the fencing shit.
Yeah, it's too much. No.
I didn't even look at the last one that just happened.
And then she really killed it when she did the Dior Sauvage collection in San Jose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Be that client.
Is your phone ringing? Oh, well.
Okay. Abby Duda.
Next one.
Telemarketer.
Oh, fun.
Oh, hello. We're busy.
Yeah. Sorry. We're super busy right now.
We're just like...
We're talking...
We're reminiscing about the 2 years of our hit podcast.
Bitch, you go into voicemail. Okay. In the menswear episode, we talked about King Edward VIII, who is Prince of Wales. Was he Prince of Wales? Yes, Prince of Wales back then. But then he was the king, and then he was nothing because he abdicated. I found an awesome picture of him holding a vegetable.
Oh!
What was that vegetable?
They're asparagus.
Yes! It's the super handsome debonair man holding two giant handfuls of giant asparagus. And he's super stoked.
I probably wouldn't have remembered that, but I had to search the internet to find that picture for the blog. I was like, we can't not include this picture.
Come on. There's a million pictures of this guy. This is the one we're using.
Asparagus fingers. He's got to be in there.
Excellent.
Okay. Let's see here. Okay, here's a personal one from us that,
okie dokie.
That you guys, I think, will get right away. It made me laugh thinking about this one. In learning how to make a welt pocket in fashion school, what gruesome visual aid did our instructor use to explain it?
An autopsy box.
Yes.
Autopsy box, which
is a cadaver scar.
The Y cut. But also, our teacher was ESL. English was not his first language, but he was also like weirdly obsessed with like alien abduction and stuff like that.
So weird.
He was a very strange.
He had varied interests.
Very entertaining, wonderful, funny man. And he kept explaining to what this. It's like an autopsy box, and all of us are like,
"He had to explain what
are you talking about?
What that like? What the shape was like? You know, like in an autopsy? We're like, no, we don't know. How many autopsies have you been to? What are you talking about?
It's not just readily available information that we have rattling around in our brains, buddy.
It's like, you know, when they like cut you open from your shoulder blades to your navel. Come on, it's like." Okay, dude.
All right. Well, pocket.
Well, I will never forget that.
I was going to say, no well pocket will ever be made without an autopsy.
And maybe that's why I'm so awful at making them. It's just like,
it's cursed.
I just get nervous thinking about cadavers. It's like, it's too much for me.
But then also laughing too hard to make the precision cutting that you need to do.
Yeah.
Making a well pocket is really hard.
It's hard.
Real fiddly.
It's very.
It's really easy to make them look bad.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wall pocket has a little fold of fabric over the edge of it. You can have a single or a double walled pocket.
But it's basically you cut a hole in your garment and then you put sort of like you sew a little hole,
yeah.
Which is terrifying to me.
It's terrifying,
and it's one of the last steps you do too. A lot of the time,
you have to do it close to the end of a garment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's risky.
So it's terrifying because it very easily will fuck up your whole thing.
Oh, fuck. It gives me anxiety to think about it. I'm like, you know what? I'll just do a patch. Patch pocket. Yeah,
there you go. Sounds
inseam?
Good.
Inseam? Great.
Flap. Yep, inseam? Great.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Sounds great. I'll put a flap on there. Even then the flap, you're just like, oh, good time.
I figured autopsy that was box. It. That was it. For sure, easy. Yes. Easy one you guys would get.
Oh, beautiful.
Made me laugh.
Oh, okay. Do Evan, charm.
Next one.
Ooh, this is a good one. Okay. Name the design detail popularized from paintings by an artist of the same name.
Oh, shit. A design detail.
Mostly like found in dresses.
Mondrian dresses?
No, it's like a detail. Like a type of pocket or type of collar. Mm-hmm.
Named
or
after
something.
The artist.
Of a painter?
French painter.
Peter Pan collar?
You know the famous French painter, Peter Pan? Peter Pan. Pierre Pan.
Oh, shit. Is it specifically on dresses?
Yes.
Is it old timey or 20th century?
18th century.
18th century. Oh, shit.
Named after a painter?
Oh, I need to go back to school.
You
need to
get dresses and I'm like,
oh man, I have no idea.
Okay, do you have a hint? Do you have one more hint?
Can you give us any?
It's like Marie Antoinette adjacent. It's French.
French painting.
But you also have to remember the name of the painter.
Yeah. Well,
is it a Watteau back?
Yes.
Yes!
Oh! I remember that!
Yeah.
It's on it!
Yes. The Watteau back is like a almost like a cape-like piece of fabric that comes from the high neckline.
Hangs from the shoulders and the neckline and just hangs.
In like a series of box pleats.
Yeah.
Down your back.
Yeah, it's like
you did a similar style on one of your gowns.
Oh, I did Watteau backs on both the gowns this season.
Yeah. Yes! I forgot he was a painter.
Yeah. It came because women would, they didn't, like, they just did the detail, and then all the women that he painted, he loved the back of that, the dress, that detail, so he made them, like, pose with the back of the gown showing. With an over-the-shoulder. It's like, over-the-shoulder, like...
Over here, contests,
blah, 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 blah. So he would love to paint the back of the dress, so they just named that detail after him.
YSL has, like, a short, white, glittery one.
Yeah,
60s. I think that's got a.
It's like a bell shape, like a balloon.
Yeah, it's like
pen.
A cocktail dress.
Yeah,
which is the same kind of back to it. It's got real volume in the front, but then this weird cocoony shape from the neck all the way to the hem on the back, and it's like white.
It's
with
a. It's
silver.
Like a very classic, like old style couture kind of detail that's used in like couture gowns from like Charles Worth and Dior and Balenciaga and Balmain. Yeah,
it's beautiful. Good one.
Good one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What do I have next? Oh, what are the five stages of the diffusion of innovation? That bell curve.
Oh.
We're talking about trends and how trends develop. What are the five stages of a trend? Oh my God, it's like a pop quiz.
Oh, shit.
denial, anger,
resentment.
Oh,
what is it? Pleading
acceptance and closure or something.
I think acceptance is one of them.
Acceptance
is one of the stages, isn't it? Because like the trend is like accepted by the greater.
And then there's
obsolescence.
None of the exact wording that I have here.
Specific
chart that we referenced.
I know obsolescence is the last one.
Yes. Or laggards.
Laggards.
That was the one that I remember.
That's right.
The people who are like, dude, that trend is over. Put your hipster or your hip 1-inch
the Dorinas?
Oh, yeah,
zipper
yeah.
jeans. Sorry, you've missed that trend.
Yeah.
Von Dutch. Put your Von Dutch hat away.
Let's see here. I can see the chart in my head.
So if you start at the people who start a trend, who are the people who start trends?
It's not innovators, but it's... Early acceptors?
It is
early
innovators.
It is innovators.
It is innovators.
then,
and after someone has come up with the idea out of seemingly nowhere,
yeah, then it's early adopters.
Yes.
Then, like, the general population.
Yeah.
Which is the peak.
Yes.
And then something, and then the last one.
I can't remember the fourth one.
There's the early majority, and then the
late majority. Late early majority, late majority,
obsolescence.
And then obsolescence.
Yes. Correct.
I got the obsolescence.
We needed to be walked through that very carefully, but you nailed it.
You could all see the little bell curve.
I saw it
in your mind
so vividly in my mind.
In that textbook.
Yeah.
That textbook that I immediately got rid of as soon as our class was over. It was so boring.
Smell you later, textbook.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Here's one that's podcast related, and it's one of my favorite things that we do. It's our episode images, our featured images that
yes.
we do.
Yeah.
Each episode has one. This is my favorite one.
Okay.
The question is, who is featured in the Not a Regular Mom Realness image episode?
Oh, I made it. I didn't remember. Is it Freddie Mercury?
Yes. Yes, it is. Well done.
Was that the episode where you were just obsessed with Queen for one like a week? Where you just like listened to that one Queen song?
It was right after the Orlando shooting.
Oh, shooting, and you needed to be pumped up.
Need some pumping up. Yeah, and that was whatever that song is. Can anybody find me somebody to love or whatever?
There you go. Yeah. Oh man,
not a regular mom realness.
Category is
yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a good one.
Oh man.
Okay, Evan.
Okay. Another fashion trivia. Who designed the iconic makeup look in Elizabeth Taylor's Cleopatra?
Oh, I think it was Elizabeth Taylor, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, it was.
Oh,
that was a trick question. And I didn't trick you. You are not the weakest link.
You are not. You get to stay on this podcast.
Hey.
Good. We really actually need you because it's all happens
it's all
here
in my
house.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be awkward to come It'd by just weird. Me and Evan. Can we use your basement?
Yeah, Dave would come
and
here
your
and help
husband.
You.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I'm not involved anymore. No, I remember, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor did it. She just went to fucking town on her own face.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do the application, did she?
Yeah, she did the application
what?
Too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, all that.
Wow.
All by herself.
Cool.
Watch Cleopatra again too if you got like 4 hours.
Why not?
It doesn't have to be, like, you don't even have to listen to it.
No, just have it on the background.
Put on mute. You don't. Yeah. You just need to look at it.
No, listen.
Yeah, put on a good podcast. Mind you, the scenes with her and Richard Burt you need to listen to because their dynamic is pretty exciting.
They like to bat back and forth and try and seal the scene.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
You can tell there's a lot of tension in those scenes.
Oh, yeah.
In a good way.
I like that.
And her costumes are just fucking amazing.
Oh, the sets are amazing. And she's fucking such a rock star, beautiful goddess on every level.
Okay. Abby, do you have one more?
I have one more. I know you guys might have more.
I have one more too.
Me too.
Okay. Anna Wintour, our Lord and Savior, only wears one kind of shoes, not including like boots and stuff. What are they and who makes them?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it a Chanel slingback?
The slingback part is right.
A Manolo Blahnik slingback.
You are correct. Custom nude cross toe peep toe slingback that she has in apparently many colors that will match her skin tone, whether she's tanned or not.
Really?
Yeah. Or sometimes it's like crocodile skin or like whatever, some sort of textured leather, but it's the same. She's worn it for 30 years. The exact, I think, well, 1994, I think, is when he designed them for her. And he just, I think she wears like, maybe like Prada boots or something in the wintertime, just like high pointy toe heel boots in the wintertime. But if you Google any picture of Anna Wintour, she's wearing the exact same pair of shoes. And that's all she
wears. Interesting.
Yeah, custom Manolos.
I mean, if I had Manolo to make me a custom pair of shoes, I'd probably wear them.
To your exact specifications, they're just exactly what you want to wear. And they're a nude slingback that goes with literally
everything.
I mean, she wears sheath dresses too all the time. So what is she going to, you know?
And she never wears black. She'll never wear head to toe black.
No, yeah.
She said that in an interview.
So there you go. I had fun Googling that image. I'm like, yep.
How high is the heel?
It's like a little kitten heel. It's like maybe an inch, not even 2 inches.
Yeah.
Totally you know, she's booting it between fashion shows or stomping around her office.
I have a really funny gif of her standing up and running down a catwalk.
At the end of the show, she boots it because she's got somewhere else to be.
It's so funny.
And she always complains about how they're late, and I love it. Yeah. It's the best.
Love it. So great. Sunglasses on, of course.
Of course.
I saw another, it was an article about just how, I think she was at the Academy Awards one year. It might have been the one where the September she was up for something and she just wore her sunglasses through the whole like Academy Award ceremony.
Yeah.
Love it. Did you see that thing she did with Amy Schumer about how
they switched roles?
Yeah. It's so good.
So good.
She just kills it on the stand-ups that she's doing.
They go like the comedy cellar with the brick wall behind her and she's telling jokes.
She walks off stage and it's just such uproarious laughter behind her. It's hilarious. It's so good.
She was on James Corden and they played a game where it's like a bunch of gross food on the table.
Oh, they eat the stuff? Yeah, and she's like truth or dare or truth or eat or whatever.
So he asked her, he's like, you planned the illustrious Met Gala every year. Out of all the guests who've ever attended, who would you never invite back?
Ooh, good list.
And there was like this disgusting thing in front of her and she like, just replied.
Bull testicles are something gross.
Yeah. She's like, Donald Trump.
Good answer.
I saw that. So good.
So good.
Oh, awesome. I don't care how much money he donates.
Yeah, exactly.
Quote, donates. We'll see. Like, donate any money. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Oh.
Okay, I have a two-part question.
All right.
I have two. Yeah, there's two parts of this. Okay. I have a couple questions left because I went on a bit of a rabbit hole. Name a designer whose line is named after their first name only.
Valentino?
That's the only one.
Is that the only one?
That's the only one I think
Erdem.
Erdem, sure, yeah.
Is their first name?
Yeah.
Erdem
Morhaliego or something is last name. It's Turkish, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
But there's not too many.
There's not that many.
It's either your last name or your first and last name or something completely unrelated. Or someone
Like Parenza Scholler, that's like their mother's maiden name.
Yeah, yeah.
Or someone like Dior, like it's just like the founder's name and it's not their name anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
So...
Okay.
Valentino's the answer. According to Valentino, what is the only color worthy of competing with black and white?
Red?
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, obviously.
The man loves red. He always designs a red dress.
So I found this interesting, too, and I was looking this up.
Also watched the Valentino documentary.
Oh, yeah. That's super
so good. It's also on Made to Measure.
So good. What is the trademark formula for his trademarked Valentino red?
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea.
This is not a trick question, but I did not expect you guys to know the answer. It's 100% magenta, 100% yellow, 10% black. That's it.
Interesting. So that's like one part magenta, one part pink, one tenth of a part black.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
I love that.
So that's equal parts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A bright pink and yellow.
Yeah. And then black.
And then a black to tint it a little bit.
And it's trademarked. So no one else can
use that shade of red.
Yeah. So if you're on Photoshop too and you put all of the magenta to one side, All of the yellow to 100% and then 10% black. That's Valentino red.
Mm.
Is that interesting?
Very cool.
I thought that was so cool. And it's so simple. You'd think it'd be this like, you know, super
a little bit
complicated,
of green and blue
this and,
like,
and that,
yeah.
whatever.
Or be like the color of a Tuscan sunset crossed with the underside of an octopus.
Or like, I don't know, like whatever abstract, whatever bullshit, literary shit he could like, poetry he could weave into whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Sprinkled with that feeling you get after your first kiss in the summertime.
Oh my God.
Right? Yeah.
Has to be in the summertime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're wearing chiffon. It's going to be the summertime.
Yeah.
Chiffon.
Okay. Do you have one more?
Awesome.
I have one more.
Okay.
Cool.
Let's do it.
Okay. What profession did Dana Vreeland say she would love to have other than a fashion editor?
Didn't you want to be a surfer?
A surfer!
Oh, to be a surfer!
Between the sky and the sea. A surfer!
I can't believe I had that right there.
It's always on the tip of my tongue. Whenever anyone mentions like, surf culture or anything, I'm like, a surfer!
Good one.
Oh, so good.
With her over rouge cheeks.
Right up
to your earlobes.
Yeah.
So good.
Necklace or whatever the fuck she's wearing.
Surrounded in red.
Just fabulous.
In it.
That was fun.
Good times. Great. And that filled pretty much exactly the amount of time that we needed to fill, I think.
Perfect.
So that's great.
Well, let's take a quick breather and then we can
obsess. And we can obsess.
Yeah.
And we're back after an extended break talking about a whole bunch of things. Because we haven't seen each other.
That you're not allowed to hear about.
No. No recording allowed. We're complaining. Privately.
It was invisible zippers, guys.
And also rejoicing.
We're complaining about zippers, as we do.
Got very heated about a zipper.
Yes.
And also how great those invisible zipper feet are when you have a good zipper foot on your machine.
Oof. Yeah, because there's like a zipper that you see and then the invisible zippers that are usually on fancier dresses that have like the little teeny tiny little pull tab. And there's a very special foot that you put on your machine and it gets the stitch so close
like,
to the
so
teeth.
So close.
So when you close the zipper, you zip it up, it's fucking
It looks like there's nothing there. It's a
and
seam.
Creaseless yeah. and, oh, it's beautiful. It's very satisfying. And it's worth ponying up the extra money for that special foot.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it makes the job go way quicker and is 100 times easier.
And you don't have to, like, take it out if you make a mistake. Like, you just don't make mistakes with it.
Yeah, you just fucking do it. Just do it right the first time.
Just do it right the first time. That's great.
All you have to do, guys. Straight up. Oh.
Okay, obsessions.
Yes,
time to obsess.
Let's do it.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I had something, but now I'm going to bump it because I talked about that book I read, and this book was fucking bloody fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was fantastic. I've read a bunch of Neil Gaiman before. He wrote Stardust and the Sandman graphic novel and Coraline and a bunch of other things. I've probably read, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 of his other books. And they're making a movie of this book. So I was like, okay, I would like to read the book before the movie comes out. And I know his books are like, I devour them. Like they're so funny and interesting and cool and unique. And I just love his vibe. So I read the book called Good Omens, and he worked with this other writer called Terry Pratchett, who writes more like fantasy stuff. Whereas Neil Gaiman's more kind of like sci-fi, but not even sci-fi, and like kind of fantasy too. Anyway, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I've never read anything the other guy, but apparently all the parts that were like the really cool jokes and the funny bits that I really like are because of the other guy.
Oh.
This Terry Pratchett guy.
That name is super familiar too.
He wrote this like epic series that's like, oh, okay, well, he wrote this Discworld series. I guess I can read that. Oh, yeah. 41 books. Like, well, maybe. I did a blast on Facebook and I'm like, where do I begin?
Yeah.
I need recommendations because I went to his Wikipedia page and it's very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know where to start. So I got a lot of great recommendations. Thank you to all my Facebook nerds who helped me. But anyway, this book, Good Omens, it's about the apocalypse, the coming apocalypse. And it's like this woman wrote these prophecies back in like the 1700s or 1600s. And she said on Sunday, the blank of whatever, 11 a.m., end of the world, it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a demon and an angel, and they're prepared, they're getting ready for the end of the apocalypse. And there's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the Antichrist, like it's all this awesome like Christian religious foundation, but told in like modern day England.
Maybe. Oh, cool.
And I found out that David Tennant and Michael Sheen are being cast as the two guys.
I mean,
David Tennant is the demon and Michael Sheen is the angel, and it's fantastic. Yeah. I will watch anything either of those two guys make. And then like Michael McKean is in it, and like a whole bunch of other like super awesome people. Like, they keep adding people to the cast, and like I went down another rabbit hole looking at like they had a read through with the whole cast and everything, and there was like leaked pictures and stuff. And it just looks so fantastic. It's going to be funny as shit. It's going to be so good. Like, yeah, I read this book in like under 2 days. It was so good.
Unputdownable?
Unputdownable. I just tore through it. It was
That's
great.
Awesome.
And I've been fighting through the last couple books I read. Just kind of like fits and starts. I started The Blind Assassin, but I couldn't get into it. So mm-hmm. I'm going to save it. And we're going to go back to it. The Blind Assassin is one of those books where you kind of like in medias res, where you just kind of like they just throw a bunch of information at it, and you got to figure out who's related to who and what's happening and
yeah,
what's
you,
going on.
You got it, like you got.
So
it.
I wasn't in the mind space to like figure it out.
Yeah, you need sort of like 2 hours of reading to start
yeah,
that.
That's the thing. Like yeah. I was trying to read it like 20 minutes or half an hour at a time, where I just need to sit down and like give it an hour
mm-hmm.
and just get through the first third.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't have time to do that, and my brain wasn't letting me. So I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, well, Blind Assassin, you're just going to wait over there for a minute.
Yeah,
I'm
just,
gonna,
just relax for a while.
I'm going to read. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I paid for you. You're just sitting there.
Yeah.
So then I read this one and I just powered through it. And it's just like super straightforward narrative sort of story. And it's so funny and charming and hilarious and weird. So
the Good Omen?
The Good Omens.
Good Omens.
Yes. Okay. So, and I also recommend any other Neil Gaiman that you've read. It's fantastic. I highly recommend his stuff.
Gotta get some more reading.
He's a very charming man. I've been on a real tear the past year. It's been great.
Nice.
Been really, after not reading like anything for years, I've gotten it back. I've gotten it back a little bit. Plus I got a Kindle too, which really helps because you can read in the dark and you can read anywhere. Like you can hold it with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can read it outside. You can read it inside. Like I just got like the basic whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. A black and white screen. Like it's not fancy or anything. But it's great. I got it for Christmas a couple years ago, and it's totally worth it.
I'll have to think about that. That's a good idea.
That's great.
Because they're so small now, too.
Oh, my God. It's so easy.
Yeah.
Like, it fits in my purse. Like, it's tiny. Like, my little purse.
I was worried that the screen would be bright like a phone, but it's not. Like,
no,
it's
and you
really
can adjust
muted.
The brightness, too. So, yeah. If you're out bright, you make it real bright. But if you want to read in dark. I also like that I don't have to have a light on while I'm reading. Because I share a bed with somebody, too.
Yeah, that's nice too.
It's really nice. I don't have to be, hostage by the lighting situation. So you can read it outside or you can read it inside and it's great. And the whole you can hold it with one hand, which is also really nice.
It's nice.
Because sometimes you want to lay on your side and hold a book and it's kind of awkward and then your hand gets tired. And
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Also, weird first world problem. I have to hold a book.
It's too hard to hold this book.
Oh, my hand hurts from holding a book. Put my glasses on. So that's me. Anyway, that was my obsession. And I cannot wait. I don't know when the movie's going to come out next year or sometime. They're just doing I don't even think they've shot it yet, but it's going to be so good.
So for our third anniversary episode,
yes,
that'll be your obsession.
I can be obsessed about the movie then.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
Fantastic.
Full circle.
Love it.
Well, I'm going to jump on yours because mine is also reading related.
Mm.
And
look at us reading stuff. Right?
Mine, don't get too excited.
It's the back of a cereal box.
Mine might be the same as it was for our 1 year anniversary episode, depending on when it came out. But it is the annual Jezebel Spooky Scary Story.
Oh, my God, yes. I totally forgot that was a thing. You scared the shit out of me last year.
I've
I remember.
Been doing a lot of those. Yeah, there's some good ones.
Now that Halloween's over, I need to, I'm ready for it now.
Yeah.
Daylight hours only, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read that after dark.
I went down a real, real rabbit hole last year. So I know
how deep you could
don't
go?
Need to go this time. But and I was going to say Mindhunter too. So when you watch Mindhunter, we can talk about it because it's so fucking good. I tore through it.
Yes.
Luckily, my husband was away for 4 or 5 days on
there
a road trip.
What else are you going to do?
He does not have much interest in true crime or any of that. But
yeah.
Mindhunter is about the branch of the FBI that started doing criminal profiling.
For serial killers and stuff?
Like in its infancy.
And not just serial killers, other criminals.
Other
too.
Criminals. But they talk to they start talking to serial killers in prison, essentially, to sort of find out what their, backstory is like and what their psychology is like and what kind of their upbringing and all these triggers and all this kind of shit. And it is not for the faint of heart. It's not gruesome or gory or anything like that. Like, there's nothing.
But it's not a knee-slapping good time.
No, but it is so fucking good. And it's done by David Fincher, who did,
it's a great-looking
Zodiac.
Show.
It's beautifully shot. It's set in the late 70s. So all the cars.
Aesthetic's really cool.
It's so, so good.
The lead guy, the young guys, I find him very compelling and, interesting and,
Yeah.
And then the older guy,
The older guy is
also
great.
Awesome.
I love the older guy. It's really, really good. It's really, really good. But, yeah, so Spooky Stories. Every time I have my computer open, Chris is like,
are you reading those stories again?
What are you reading? The Spooky Story, do you want to hear? When he's like, no, I don't want to hear it. No, why are you reading? I was like, I can't stop. They just keep going and going and
just keep scrolling and they keep being added.
And then there's 6 years worth of Spooky Stories on Jezebel. And so they're all linked at
up.
The bottom. It's like, hey, do you like this one? You'll probably like this one from last year. And it's like, yes, I do.
I already know how this one ends, but I'm still going to read it.
It's so good. So, so, so good.
There's hours of your life lost.
No, gained. The best. It's a bonus. Now I know what not to do.
Yes.
I'm rich. Yes.
Fulfilling my life experience.
There's people who write these stories about like hauntings and ghosts and paranormal shit. And some of the stuff that they describe, you're like, you got to get the fuck out of that house. Why are you even
Don't open
there?
The door. Don't go down those stairs.
Don't do it. And then you think like, if it was your house,
of course you would just walk through or whatever.
Of course you would just do the thing you had to do.
Yeah, you turn the light off and whatever.
Human life.
Yeah.
And you got bills to pay and you got dishes to do and whatever. But some of them were like, get the hell out of there. What are you doing? I didn't bring any specific ones for spooky scaries. But
they're easy to check them out.
Is there one that you could share with us that you read that stuck with you?
There was one. It was actually from last year, but I reread it again today, obviously. And it was about this story from like this woman's grandmother, like back in some small town in Yugoslavia or something, some Eastern European town where there's like,
I love it already,
you know, 40 people or something. Yeah. And so this woman,
the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, her grandma's story
from the
told
old country.
Her. So it's like, you know, I don't know what year it is, but it's
60 years ago or
something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, from the old country. Exactly. Yeah. So she, there's this woman in town and she passes away, and so they bury her in the ground, and they go to the house that she used to live at, and they have, you know, a party and you know, it's a cold, of course, it's a cold and like wintry night,
course,
and you know, temperatures dropping, and out of nowhere they hear this like pounding on the door, so they all kind of freak out and like, oh, what is this? And it's quite scary, and it's cold and dark, and they look out through the window, and they see like a visage of this woman. They see this woman who they've just buried.
An apparition or something. Or is it
this dead woman? Yeah. They're like, it's her ghost. Like, don't let her in. Like, you know, don't let her in. It's too scary. And so everyone's like pretty freaked out, and the banging continues, and you know, eventually it goes away. And but they don't let her in.
Freaking out.
Don't, you know, don't let in the spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, let her rest or whatever.
Let her figure her own shit out.
Yeah. And they're all like freaked out by it. So then, you know, they go to sleep or whatever, and they wake up in the morning and they open the door, and it is the actual woman was buried alive. She was not dead.
Oh my God.
Pounded on the door to be let back into her own house where she lives because she wasn't dead, and she's dead on the ground because
she froze to death.
So, like, who knows how much truth is in that?
How much that's embellished or whatever.
It definitely...
There was an episode of Lore recently about people being buried alive, and that is terrifying. That is my worst nightmare.
There's a weird doppelgangers one, too. The doppelgangers are
that's too much.
Spooky. That's so good.
I'm glad I watched Kill Bill and she was buried alive. Like, fucked me up.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Yeah. And yeah, and her, so they're like, oh my God, it's her spirit. Like, she's back. Sure. Like, don't let her in. We can't let her in.
Oh, do let her in.
No,
it's
her house. She lives there. She's dead. Whoops. We killed her. Get her back in the box.
Crazy. That whole Lore episode was people talking about how there was really no medical way of figuring out if someone was actually
dead. Oh, somebody was dead. Sure.
Because,
for a long time.
Because the plague, they would give off, like they would have no heartbeat, like low heartbeat.
Sure.
Like,
your body can change temperature if you're like, breathing or whatever.
And the only way to know is people would start to decompose. So you'd have like.
You just have to wait it out.
They would leave corpses in places that were built specifically for like dead
to
bodies.
To make sure they were
to
dead.
Make sure that they were dead. So it was like people who would sit there in rooms of dead bodies.
Just to make
and
sure
wait
dead.
To see if they
to
would
see if
wake
they were
up.
Dead. Oh my God.
And when someone started to decompose, that's when you knew it was time for
it was safe
for a
to. Oh my God. But that took a few days.
Yeah.
There's one about a crematorium where the bodies always go in the right, like feet first or head first. I forget which
sure,
way,
whatever but, order, but they all go the same.
But they always go in the same way into the crematorium, and there's like the sound of this big pop, and it was the skull popping off, and it faced up against like the glass of the crematorium, and they're like, there's no way that would have happened. Like, we didn't put the body in that way.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have happened like that.
No.
And corpses don't spin around like that, and they don't spin around in a straight oven. They're like,
no, let's get out of here.
So creepy.
Lock the door behind you, never come back.
Yeah, exactly. Always lock your doors.
We just give it. Okay. We just give you a spooky, ooky,
spooky.
Oh, man.
Halloween treat.
Yeah. Just when you thought Halloween was over.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Spooky November treat.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Evan, can you elevate us out of this?
Or, yeah, or what do you got?
I'm obsessed with this album called Isan from the artist Sevda Liza.
Oh, never heard of it.
She's Iranian and Dutch, and like the first like kind of thing that, well, not the first, but like one of her noteworthy songs is a song in Persian that was written as a protest to the Muslim ban.
Oh, really?
Okay, sure.
So she's very politically charged, and I don't know, the music is just so visceral and like moody and beautiful, and there's so many like amazing visuals to go along with it. Like
awesome.
There's a video called there's a song called Human, and it's basically it's just like the way that I take it anyway is just trying to confirm your humanity in a world that always wants to take it away from you, especially being a woman from Iran.
Interesting.
Oppressed person in general. But the video is like, it's her like in a ring, almost like a gladiator ring. And she's dressed like very like provocatively from like the waist up, but from the waist down, she has horse legs.
Interesting. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's just like, she's like performing for like a group of like old white guys who are like drooling and and like it's like ugly old white guys that are like gross and ugly. Yeah. They're like drooling and like watering in the eyes, and she's like this beautiful like
specimen
that's just like enchanting them.
Freaky.
Wow. Cool.
It's so good.
Is it in English?
It's in English. Yeah, the music's in English, but except for the song that was in Persian.
Right.
Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you've listened to some.
Just listen to it on repeat. Yeah. It's like. SZA, Control,
yes.
Sevda Liza, Shania, ABBA,
Shania
again, and then Confessions on a Dance Floor, Madonna.
I saw you listen to some Janet recently too.
Oh, Janet's been popping up for me a few times in the last little while too. God damn it, that is a good album.
Yeah, that really is a good
together
album.
Together Again.
Yes, so good,
so necessary good. And so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
good time. You really brought us up.
Yeah, there you go. Good job.
Fuck, out of the grave. Oh my God, she's still alive. Get her out of here.
Don't let her in.
one in the crematorium.
I know. I cannot stop. Like once I start on, and they're not very long. The stories aren't long. So it's not sure, like you're investing 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, well, you know, I got to go to work in 20 minutes. I can get
what else am I gonna
seven
do?
Stories down.
Yeah. Have you seen The Others with Nicole Kidman?
That movie fucked me up.
It fucks you up.
Sheila and I watched that together.
Don't tell me the ending because I've never seen the ending. But
but I remember Sheila and I watching it together and like thinking it would be like, okay, whatever, there's this movie out. Like we didn't know that much about it. And then being like clutching each other as we're watching it.
The thing is, the movie psychs you out. The whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, yes. There's this one scene. It has nothing to do with the plot, but she's like walking through like a room that's like all storage. There's just like all these paintings and like furniture covered in
tarps or whatever.
And like, it's like all spooky,
things.
Like your basic spooky, like horror set with like cobwebs and the like. And she only has like a little like lamp.
Yeah.
So that's the only source of light in the shot. So she's walking and it pans to a new shot and you see like this ghoulish fucking face and you're like, oh my God, it's the ghosts. The ghosts are here. And it's fucking terrifying. So the score swells, this whole thing. And then as she gets closer to it, it's just a painting.
And that happens
for the whole fucking movie.
They're just
like, oh my God, we're finally going to see the ghosts. We're going to see them now. No, it's not there. It's just going to be a spooky sound. And then she's going to be running around. Her kids are freaky. And it's like,
it's so good.
Yeah.
I feel like,
but her costumes in the whole movie.
I know.
Fantastic. It's a beautiful movie.
It's stunning. Beautiful.
I feel like it was
that homage
story
to film noir and like classic horror and.
Yeah. And like good.
Old timey.
Just good.
Because it takes place like after the Second World War.
Like the story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the one line, like the my 50s, favorite
yeah,
line.
Early 60s,
she's like, I went through the whole occupation without having a single Nazi in this house, and now somebody is here. We need to find them. And then she cocks a gun and she's like walks around the house with like a shotgun. So good.
So good.
And then it's like classic Nicole Kidman, like the alabaster
the beautiful skin.
And like
her hair.
Like, that like short, curly finger wavy hair with the red lip and like a black, perfectly tailored suit. So and she's like clacking so around her
mansion. I gotta watch it again. It's been a long time. Probably still scared the shit out of me.
I'm waiting I'm waiting for like a crowd of the gays to come over and like watch it because I cannot watch it by myself.
You can shriek and clutch.
We can shriek and clutch and like, kiki about it.
It's so good.
And hold each other.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh boy, I feel like this could, I was just going to say five more things and I was like, no, no, we don't have time.
We gotta wrap it up, I guess. Save it next time.
Well, thanks you guys for 2 years of listening because that's been pretty insane.
And thanks to you two for 2 years of awesome shows.
Oh, no shit, bitch.
And it's so fun.
So fun. We're going to keep doing
it. Keep doing it. And if you guys have any cool questions, trivia, whatever, can stump us?
Give it a try.
Give it a try. We stumped each other. We're not, it's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Yeah, we did not need to keep score.
I think we're okay. But yeah, you can tweet at us. You can hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, email, Fashion Hags. Find us on iTunes. If you want to rate and subscribe and shit on iTunes, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's
check out our website.
And yeah, thanks again, guys. You guys all know this, but... you know, we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye. Fashion. Hey.